Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's May 5, 2014, and this is episode 420. Today we follow up on the portrait shoot that I did at the end of March this year with an episode on how I fulfilled the first print order, including creating various print sizes on roll paper, and we'll also touch on trimming and decurling the prints, and a little bit of reflection on how incredibly happy this kind of work makes me, and thankfully the customer. A month ago, in episode 415, I walked you through that portrait shoot that I did with two families using a portable studio that I set up at one of their homes. For a few days after the shoot, I had a lot of other time-critical things that I needed to do. So it took me about 5 days after the shoot to work on their images and send both families a USB memory stick with the images on. I used to send portrait session images on DVDs, but as I have these USB memory sticks made to give our tour and workshop customers, I figured I'd use these this time instead. On a business note, of course, these, although they cost more than DVDs to create, they are, of course, good marketing, especially if the person that receives them actually uses them in front of other people. We use them on my tours to bring images to critique sessions. Each participant has a memory stick each that they take away with them. But, of course, there's a bit of subliminal marketing going on there, too, if they use them when they get back home. I downsize the images to 2,560 by 1,440 pixels before I give them to the clients. These are for the clients to browse and select images for print and to use as their desktop backgrounds if they want to, as this is the same resolution as an iMac screen. So they look great on Retina and iPad screens as well, and if the customer uses Windows, they'll look great. At this resolution, they can be printed up to, say, 5x7 or maybe even a little bit larger, although I make it known that this is not what they're for. If you recall from episode 415, I also created a sepia version of each image and later a black and white version of each image. Once I have I've selected my final images that I'm going to show the customer, I rename all of the images in Lightroom to assign a sequential 3-digit number to the start of the file name. And that gives them a unique number. Each image has a unique number. And this means that the number for the color version of the image will be different to the number for the sepia version of the same file. I also include all of the images in 1440 pixels wide as well. And these are all watermarked, and I let the customer know that they can share these on Facebook or any social networks that they're involved in. And that, again, is good marketing for me, and mainly to additional work from their friends should they like the images. I also include a print order form in the USB memory stick in Excel format, so that the customer can select and select the size and finish for their prints. They just select the size and finish from a pull down and enter the number of their photo and how many they want, and the spreadsheet fetches the price and multiplies that by the number of images required. Because I include a certain amount of money for prints in my portraiture packages, I added the amount that they have to spend on prints in the Excel spreadsheet, so they can track how they're doing. Of course, should they be happy to go over that, the spreadsheet also then calculates any additional payment that they'll make to cover the cost of any additional prints that they're going to ask me to do. This is all really about the business side of the deal, of course. And before we move on, I'm sure some of you are wondering why I don't just give the customers the full-sized images and have them print their own and be done with it. That is one way to work, of course, but I don't want my customers to display images that I shot, but they print themselves, because I can't control the quality if they do that. Plus, of course, by building in print sales into the portrait session and enabling the customer to buy more prints at any point after the session, I'm increasing my profit from the shoot and adding to my product long tails income that could potentially come in after the initial job is done. I also promise the customer that their images will be available indefinitely, so they can come back to me for prints long after the shoot, as long as they like, really. Okay, so my customer has their images, and the first thing that both families did was mail me to let me know how happy they were with the photos. They also mentioned how much they enjoyed the experience. What I provide makes people feel special. Sure, I charge accordingly, but unlike many studios on the high street here in Japan, where the customers are wheeled in, posed, have a handful of images shot, and then wheeled out again, with my shoot, we have much more interaction and spend much more time getting them what they want. We create a pose list before the shoot and then add anything that we think might work as we go along. I talk as I shoot, sometimes make them laugh, and other times getting candid moments that remind them of the day. Because there were two families to shoot during this session, we planned for 2.5 hours and shot as much as we could in that time. That does not include the time to set up the studio, of course. And on that note, the cool thing about that is, about taking the studio to the customer, is that they get to see how much work setting it all up involves, and that makes them feel happier about the price tag. Of course, they wouldn't have hired me in the first place if they weren't happy with that, but I have been told after some shoots that the customer now feels that they're even underpaying me, which proves that to me that they're happy. And I'm happy because I'm not working for peanuts. Remember, one of my business mantras is that I never want to work for an amount that doesn't make me feel happy about doing the job. There may be times when I work for less or provide a service for free because I want the photos, but that's fine too. Compensation doesn't always have to be financial, but you must be happy with your cut, no matter what form that cut comes in. In this shoot, remember that I didn't charge the customers to photograph the kitsuke sessions, which is when the professional kimono fitter came to dress the young girls and the two men in the families. I shot that for more than 2 hours for free, and I still provided the families with the images, and I did this because I wanted to. It also gave the customers added value, so it's a win-win situation. Anyway, the customers spent a week or so looking through their images and selecting what they would like to have printed. In Japan, people generally don't have enough wall space for large prints. So the order came through and it was 4 8x10 inch, 21 5x7 inch, and 4 4x6 inch prints, all on Pura Smooth, which is a beautiful OBA free fine art matte paper from Breathing Color. Remember, OBAs, or optical brightening agents, aren't always bad, but using fine art paper that doesn't contain them is generally going to increase the longevity of the prints. I actually take an ultraviolet light that I shine onto some paper samples in the pre-shoot session to show the customers that the difference really between the OBA free and paper that contains OBAs. Media that contains them reflect the purple light, and OBA free media does not. Let's talk a little now about how I actually lay out the prints in Lightroom for efficient printing. Remember that the images are included in the Enhance podcast if you're subscribed to that, and if you're viewing on your computer in iTunes or an iPhone or iPad, you can see the images. But to be able to actually see the detail and read the text in some of the dialogue of the screenshots that we'll look at today, you'll really need to go over to the blog and click on the images and view them at full size. So go to mbp.ac/420 to check out the images. If you recall that I print with an Image Prograph IPF 6350 24-inch wide roll printer from Canon, it stands to reason that I'm not going to be feeding in individual 4x6 or 5x7-inch sheets of paper. If for no other reason that the printer won't even handle sheets this small, but you also can't even buy this size for a pre-cut from Breathing Colour. To start my printing process, using the order form from the customer, I locate and put all of the images that the customer wants prints of into Lightroom collections according to the size required. That means for this order I created three collections, one for 8x10s, one for 5x7s and one for 4x6 prints. The customer wanted two of a particular 5x7-inch print, so I created a virtual copy so that I could easily add both to a single sheet of roll paper that I'd print all of the 5x7s on. To lay out the prints, I had to create a custom page size, as I would be adding all of the images with borders. I calculated that it would be best to use 17-inch roll as opposed to 24-inch roll, and lay out three columns of seven images to create my 21 5x7-inch prints. So in the print module in Lightroom, I created my custom page size using the page setup button, and for the first batch of 21 5x7-inch prints, I selected the single image / contact sheet option, and by specifying seven rows and three columns under page grid in the layout panel, I pretty much automatically laid out my 21 prints, as you can see in the screenshot that we're displaying now. Note too that I wanted to add a 3mm border around each image, as the customer would be framing many of these in small wooden frames that they have, and this border helps to drop the prints into the frame without losing too much of the print behind the mat. The problem here, though, is that Lightroom only gives us the option to specify a stroke border in points. Luckily, Wikipedia came to the rescue telling me that one point is 0.35277777778mm, which enabled me to create a conversion with pCalc, a calculator that I use on my Mac and iPhone, and created a conversion between points and millimeters. So I now know that 1mm is 2.83464566691 points, and could calculate that 8.5 points is close enough to 3mm as I need for this purpose. So that's what I used. Now, there is one other problem with the Lightroom print module when printing in contact sheet mode, with many images in columns and rows like this, and that is that you cannot add lines as cut guides. You can only add crop marks, as I've circled in red on this screenshot. This may seem enough, but as you start to trim your images down, you actually cut away the crop marks, leaving nothing to guide your last cut. So you have to put a little nick in one side in one direction before making your third cut on the images. This isn't difficult as long as you keep this in mind. So I don't find it worth actually going into Photoshop and adding a 3mm border and a stroke line. But I did want to mention it as it's something that you have to keep in mind. Actually, another option is to use the side guide that comes with the rotary trimmer that we'll take a look at shortly. If you just set this to the required depth, you don't need to worry about losing this last crop mark either. But the way I work doesn't always make it easy or necessary to use that method. Having tweaked the cell spacing and cell size in Lightroom to ensure that my images would all be exactly 5x7 inches, I sent the job to the printer and enjoyed watching all of the 21 prints come out on a 53-inch long piece of 17-inch wide roll media. Note that if you're wondering why I don't let the paper feed into the paper catcher on the printer, This is because I don't want anything to touch the face of the print. It would probably be fine to let smaller prints just drop into that cloth, but I generally catch my prints as they are automatically cut and lay them straight out onto my work table. This is fine too because I really do love watching prints come out of the printer like this. This is another reason why I build printing for my customers into my portrait sessions. I just get a huge kick out of printing and watching these images come out. And with the smiling faces of the families that I photographed right there, it's incredibly fulfilling. I guess that's MBP business mantra number two for today. Build your business around doing things that you love doing. Just like doing jobs that I'm happy with the compensation for. If you're happy with what you're getting paid and you're doing what you love, your products will reflect that. Your customers can feel the care and the quality in what you produce, and that's priceless. Okay, so now that we have our sheet of 5x7 inch prints, we need to trim them, which I do with a 36 inch wide Saunders Professional M3 rotary trimmer. I've had this for about 4 years now, and although I found the edges it left a little bit rough to begin with, after a few uses, it settled down, maybe helped by the self-sharpening mechanism, and I now find it an invaluable tool. Because my prints were initially on 53-inch long on a 53-inch long sheet, I first trimmed it down into three more manageable sizes, and then started to trim down a row at a time until I just had my 21 5x7-inch prints. As I said earlier, if you use the single image / contact sheet printing mode, you have to be careful of the order in which you crop so that you keep your crop marks long enough, or use the side guide that comes with the rotary cutter for your last cut so that you can get these sizes exactly right. There'd be nothing worse in my mind than holding a stack of prints that were supposed to be the same size together and finding that they were all slightly different. In the image that I'm displaying here to illustrate this, it actually shows a number of different sizes. This was the 8x10s, the 4x6s, and 5x7s, just for illustration purposes. Note too that when I'm only quickly trimming one or two images, I sometimes just use a rubber craft cutting mat and a steel rule and a sharp cutter knife. I use a steel rule as I've heard that plastic rules can sometimes cause the knife to ride up on the edge as you cut, leading the knife towards your fingers, which isn't good. So if you choose this method, do get a steel rule, not a plastic one. I'm taking things out of sequence just a little to explain this, all of this, in a logical order. But to put things into perspective, I actually did all of the printing on one day and allowed the prints to fully dry overnight before I trimmed them. Let's go back now and take a look at how I printed the other two sizes. First, here's the 8x10-inch prints, again on 17-inch media, because, of course, 2 eighths is 16, and so this leaves me with half an inch to trim the image. And for the last four prints, which were 4x6, I literally just stacked them up four in a row and laid them out on a single row, because again, 4x4 is 16, leaving me just an inch to just a little bit of leeway for trimming. And as careful as I am with the printing and trimming process, with this many prints to create, something almost always goes wrong. One thing I find with fine art matte media is that quite often, once you have printed the photograph, a flake of the coating on the media can come away, leaving a white spot. Sometimes I can use a pigment ink felt pen to spot this if it's in a dark area of the photo, but generally it means a reprint. And although I wear white cotton gloves when handling the prints, occasionally I'll scuff one against another and leave a bit of a line on the surface. the customer would probably never notice, but I know it's there, so I do a reprint. Also, as carefully as I check the originals, I found a solitary dust spot on the group photo 8x10 inch print that I did, so that had to be done again. And with the 5x7 of the same image, obviously also containing the same dust spot, it was hardly visible, but it was there, so I redid that as well. Again, for the reprint layout, I kept my 17 inch roll media in the printer and used a custom package option this time in Lightroom instead of a contact sheet. Contact sheets, of course, can only lay out images of the same size. To create various sized prints, it has to be a custom package. One of the good things about a custom package is, though, that it, instead of just giving you crop marks on the corners of the image, we now have the option to change that to cut guides, the cut guides option to lines, as you can see in this screenshot. This means that the lines extend almost all the way to the edge of the paper, so you can actually trim the edge away a little bit and ensure that you get it straight, of course, but then you have a guide to look down on to ensure that it's perfectly in line with the blade of the rotary cutter. Now that we have all of our print sizes created, there is an extra step to go through before we can move on, and that's because these were printed on roll media. Pretty much all heavy roll media that I've worked with curls, especially after it's cut, because it's stored rolled up, of course, and wants to stay that way. To do this, you can buy an overpriced decurler, or you can make one with remnants of media left on rolls that you use up. If you leave a meter or two at the end of a roll, you can just use that. Or, as I do, you can use an old roll of canvas. I actually have a roll that had some defects, and being the amazing company that they are, Breathing Colour immediately replaced the roll for me, which means I have one lying around. As we can see in this photo, all you have to do is roll out the media away and then lay all of your prints so that the curl is facing upwards, and then roll the media up again, taking the prints inside. An old roll of canvas is especially useful for this because it's heavy, and once you rolled up the canvas with the prints inside, you can just put it aside for a while to decurl them. You can, of course, do this before you trim your prints too, while they're still on the roll, and I sometimes do that, but in my experience, you still have to do it again once you've trimmed your images down, as they start to curl all over again once they've been trimmed down to the small size. Also note that sometimes rotating them 90 degrees and curling them sort of the sideways and not directly against their curl can help to decurl them as well. I generally leave prints rolled against their curl for about 12 hours to a full day before packaging them and shipping them off to the customer. They generally still curl again later, just a little, but it's nowhere near as bad as it would be if I didn't do this at all. One of the beautiful things about working with small prints for a customer is that it enables me to use my die-cast and embossed folio covers when I send the prints. The addition of a single page with the words "thank you" written on it adds a nice surprise for the customer when they open the folio of prints, as you can see in this photograph. And here you can see that I also printed one of the images that the family selected on gloss paper and used that in the window of the folio so that they know exactly what's inside. I use gloss because it's a little bit more durable than the matte. This is all just added value that makes the entire experience more pleasurable and memorable, hopefully even remarkable for the customer. That, of course, is a Seth Godin-style remarkable, meaning that people feel strongly enough about something to remark upon it to others, and that's how word of mouth works. To finish the presentation, we package the folio in bubble wrap to protect it, and then put it in a white box and seal it with pure white tape. That gets scuffed and dusty and messed up in the courier's hands as it transports across Tokyo, of course, but I think that they get the idea when it turns up at the customer's door. To finish, I'm going to share a photo that the husband of the family sent me on the night that the prince arrived. I just love this photo. We can see the lady of the house surrounded not only by photographs from this session, but I recognise a number of photos from our previous sessions too. And some of the photos that had just arrived are already in frames on the counter behind her. As much as I like the photos from the shoot itself, this one will probably be the one that I'll come back to and look at the most, because it says it all to me. We'll wrap it up here for today. I've touched on many aspects of my processes today, both the craft side and the business side, but I wanted to bring this shoot full circle. I'm looking forward to receiving the print order from the second family and fulfilling that. And I just heard that this family is already putting together a second order, which is good to hear. I love creating happy customers. Thanks very much for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Google+, Twitter and Facebook, and links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, and in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.